Hello and welcome to The Outer Frame, the show where we talk about the movies that don't get talked about enough. I'm your host, Jason Sellers, and on this episode, we will not be discussing Sleepaway Camp because I typed November instead of October. So now we will be discussing our top three favorite horror movies and our top three most underrated horror movies. We will also play the review game, discuss some movie news, and throw some recommendations your way. But first, let me introduce the person living in the scariest movie I know, Donnie Nelson.
It's called life.
It's just like the game.
Just like the game.
Is it a direct adaptation of the game?
What? Yes, if I ever make a movie, I just call it Life, and it's be like based on the board game. And it would, that's terrible.
You should call it Life based on the book by Roger Ebert.
Maybe. Can we also say? Can we like retroactively call Citizen Kane an adaptation of Monopoly?
Yeah. Citizen Kane or Monopoly.
The movie.
How I learned to stop playing Monopoly and love capitalism.
No.
That is a title.
That is a title.
That,
yes,
is a title. I don't know that it's a good title, but it's a title.
It's a title.
That's
it's
for
a
sure.
Title and you're going to like it.
Donnie, what is the worst thing that you saw this week?
The worst thing that I saw this week was Saw 6. I saw Saw.
Wait,
I
okay,
saw Saw
okay.
6.
Okay, you gotta... Which one is Saw 6? Because I think
yeah,
I've seen most of the Saw movies. I just don't
I know
remember
what you
which
mean.
One is which.
I know what you mean, because you're just like, I know there are 8 Saw films, but...
Oh my god, there's 8 Saw films?
Yes, there's 7 Saw films, and then there's Jigsaw. And then this coming May will be 9 Saw films.
Okay.
Because of the new one coming out.
Yeah.
So Saw 6 is essentially what I would say Jigsaw versus our medical system in America. And the insurance companies, because that's essentially what it is. He goes after the insurance company, like the main dude, who pretty much denied his like insurance for him because he had cancer, and it's not like that makes more sense than what Jigsaw actually turned out being, which was. The reason why all the people who were playing the game in the film Jigsaw is because they were all involved in Jigsaw's...
Him dying, right?
No, Jigsaw's nephew getting hit because he was riding a bike.
It's fucking stupid.
I know. He's just like, are we just doing Jigsaw's relatives now?
Is Saw 6 the one where it's the guy and there's like a carousel of people?
Mm-hmm.
And there's like
and they
a
all get
really,
shotgun.
Yeah, and there's like a really overly complicated explanation of what he's supposed to do and what he's supposed to learn. And then I stopped paying attention.
I said it was the worst thing that I watched this week, and I don't know if I actually recommend people watch it, but I liked it a lot more than I realized I did, because I watched a whole bunch of other ones. Or like a bunch of other Saw films have like completely lost taste for me. Like I don't think I can watch the first one anymore, and like the other ones have like varying degrees of enjoying the cheese, but Saw 6 is like a special kind of like this is the penultimate episode to like the last movie, which is not the last movie. And, like, in that case, it's kind of interesting. But, there's just, like, some really good moments. And I will say, the last shot of Saw 6 is legitimately one of the, it's pretty cool.
That's
and that was
sweet.
The worst. That was the worst thing I watched this week.
The only Saw movies that I really remember are the first three. And then after that, I don't remember any of them.
Yep, because you remember horrible bad acting in a room in the first one, the needle pit in the second one, and then the lady getting frozen in the third film.
Oh, yeah. No, I remember the lawyer getting his neck chained in the fucking dead pig carcasses.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty horrible.
No, you know what I remember from the third one? I remember, because he has to, like, reach down a thing that has a shotgun in it, and he's got to, like, pull the key out before he gets shot by the shotgun, right?
Yes, there's one and where he does that, yeah.
And the guy that's just standing behind him, somehow he doesn't get shot, but
yeah,
the guy behind him
does.
He's
able to finagle the key, but the guy is just standing behind him for some reason, because I guess he wants to see what's happening, or he's not paying attention, and then it turns, because he saves one dude, and then you think, oh, there's two people that are going to go through the rest of those traps? No. He just accidentally kills the other dude.
It's fucking stupid, that's what it is.
It is.
Alright, the worst thing that I watched this week, and I feel like I'm going to get a lot of flack because it's not bad, but it is the worst thing that I watched this week, and that is the 1993 Addams Family film.
How dare you?
That I feel like a lot of people remember more fondly than they should, because that is not a good movie. Like, it's not well made. Most of the jokes don't land.
I mean, you're pretty much going on the charisma of the actors.
Exactly. That's where I was going with this, is to say that the, like, what's what, and I also watched Addams Family Values this week as well.
Which would you say is a better movie?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
It is much, I mean, it's still not great, but like, it's much better written. The plot is more interesting.
Malibu Barbie.
I don't know, the characters have more things to do. Like, they all have, like, their little side arcs, as opposed to the first one, where it's just, like, they're all doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. Anyway, what I was gonna say is that these movies have, like, two things going for them. One is that the cast is fucking perfect in every way, shape, and form. The other is that they absolutely nailed the atmosphere and, like, the silly background gags, their costumes, like, all of that stuff is also just fucking perfect. But everything else is done in a way that is not good. So the sole reason, like, if this movie had a different cast, nobody would remember it positively.
Okay.
I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Like, if it, like, and I just watched them because I, like, I know the remake just came out, but
the remake, the animated film,
the animated version.
I don't know if you can consider that a remake.
You know, I would be more on board. I didn't know this until Caitlin pointed it out, that Snoop Dogg voices Cousin It in the animated movie.
That's okay.
And I would be on board for watching an animated version where Snoop Dogg has to voice every single character.
Oh my god.
Like,
so it's gonna be a Call of Duty multiplayer, like, voice pack again.
I would be 100% on board with that. I don't know. I mean, I just, like, everybody did their part so well. Like, it's one of those movies that, like, I don't care how well it gets cast.
I feel like, yes, everybody got cast correctly in a film that wasn't necessarily good to allow for the sequel in which they could actually utilize all those things.
The really, and I feel like, the one thing that I do want to highlight is just how fucking stupid the ending is when they're like, well, I guess we'll just keep this guy Fester. And then they're like, oh, hey, guess what? Turns out he's been Fester the whole time.
Yeah.
He just lost his memory. And then when he got shocked by lightning at the end of the movie, he remembered he was Fester.
That was so convoluted. I never actually got that. Like, I didn't remembering either. Because when I watched it, I think, like, less than a year ago, I was just like, oh, he actually was? Because, like, I literally thought, like, as watching it when I was younger, it was just like, oh, he's just, like, convinced that mm-hmm. he's Fester now, so he's just going to start living this life that's more fulfilling to him. Mm-hmm. It's not he's actually Fester. Yeah.
No, that's
accidentally got back to where he was supposed to go.
When I was a kid, I thought they were just being like, they were just lying to themselves and being like, "Yep, he's Fester."
Yeah, which
and
they were doing right away at the beginning of the movie is like.
But no, he is literally Fester. Like, stupid. But to highlight, like, I think that's probably the dumbest moment in the movie. However, on the other end of the spectrum, I think that the best, like, scene in that film is when Gomez and Fester do, oh, what's that dance called?
The babushka?
Yeah. When they do that dance, like, there's no dialogue. They're singing, but there's no dialogue. And watching them react to each other is so much fun. And watching the way that Gomez and, like, they're both doing the same thing, because there's a part where they each have, like, machetes or long knives, and they're like ching ching ching, ching, like, just making sparks fly off of them. And so they're both doing the same thing, but at the same time, they're both doing it in such a different way that, like, it makes it so much fun to watch. And so I feel like that scene is the highlight of the movie for me, because there's no dialogue, and it is done perfectly in a way that just makes it a blast to watch. Even though each one is doing the same thing in the dance, they're doing it in such a way that conveys their character so well.
Yeah.
And even the quick scenes of Morticia and some of the other family members in the film are so, like, when you see what they're up to, everything about it makes it so memorable, and yet they're not saying anything. It's just that they're all acting, and they're doing it really well. That's the worst thing that I watched this week. Which, it's not bad. Say, it's just not great.
I will say that before I realized it was an animated movie, the new movie that just came out, mm-hmm. I thought the casting was perfect. I was like, oh my god, Oscar Isaacs as Gomez Adams, and like Charlize Theron as
Morticia.
Morticia. I was just like, this is gonna be really good. Oh, it's animated. Okay, because like I really needed to see Oscar Isaacs as like with the pencil thin mustache, and we're not gonna get it. It's unfortunate. So
yeah,
already the worst animated film of the year.
We got a lot to talk about, so yep. We're just gonna keep chugging along. What is the best thing that you saw this week?
The best thing I saw this week was Shin Godzilla. Which was the last main Japanese, it's a reboot of Godzilla. They rebooted Godzilla for, like, the third time or something.
Is that the one with Zilla in it?
No, I don't think so. Okay. No. No, it's just Godzilla in this movie. And they treat it as if they've never seen him. So, like, this is, like, the first time. So that's why it's a reboot. And the funny thing is, and I had heard it, and I was so fascinated with how they were approaching it, was that the horror of the film is how the bureaucracy of government is the most horrifying thing in a natural disaster. And that's, like, for the first, like, I'd say two-thirds of the movie, like, there's almost no, like, discernible characters. They're just people in rooms debating on what the right move should be made and how much budget they have for which, like, defenses they have on a creature that is, like, raining mass destruction on everything, and how terrifying, like, people in boardrooms decide the fates of so many people. And then, like, by the end, it kind of becomes a little bit more conventional. a more conventional film, because there's like there's hero characters, there's like you there's a main character that emerges, and then there's, you know, and the funny thing is, like, the way that they're able to defeat Godzilla in the end is not a way that I would have ever expected that movie to ever go, but it's like it's just like one of those really fascinating, like, it keeps you engaged, and it's so quickly cut, and at some point it almost feels like you're watching a documentary, because you're like, because it's so quick and it's on the fly, and
yeah,
it's people literally just trying to throw stuff, like, ideas out and try to, like, and, like, people just like dumb governments being dumb governments. But honestly, like, I thought it was like all stuff getting in the way, but I mean, a lot of the stuff is like there's no one, the government isn't like stupid. Yeah. It's just the nature of how the government is set up that is like facilitates like all this like red tape and like pretty much like no decisions are able to be made for like hours on end because they have to go through so many people. And that's honestly like, it's almost not about a giant monster like destroying most of like Japan and Tokyo and stuff like that. It's just like the horror of people having such power to like and have responsibility to make the right decisions for a lot of people. And it's like, it's more of a parable about like any natural disaster as opposed to like, oh, it's a, hey, it's a big dude. It's a dude in a big rubber suit. And you know that they're just a model city. So, honestly, that's, it might be, I haven't watched too many Godzilla movies other than like the 2000 one, which is awful. And then,
oh, the American ones?
Yeah. And then I think I've watched the first one. But this one is maybe my favorite Godzilla movie.
I think all the American ones are pretty bad.
And there's just... Oh, yeah, that's right. There's two other ones. Because 2000 was bad, but like as a kid, I'm like, ooh, Godzilla, you know? But then I didn't even watch King of the Monsters, but that first one, that first remake...
The one that was done by Gareth Edwards,
the one who did Monsters, yes, not the one who did The Raid. It was just boring.
It is, but I mean, the last, like, first of all, Godzilla is in that movie for like 12 and a half minutes. That's not a joke. That's literally like the time that he is on screen for. Second, all of that movie is bad except for like the last 10 minutes when he has that really awesome fight scene that you can actually see. Yeah. That's really cool. But the rest of it is not, it is bad.
Yeah.
So,
and like I said, I from that, I almost have no desire to want to watch the second one, but maybe sometime. I don't know.
No, it's not very good.
Also, here's the messed up thing, is that they apparently have a deal with, I think it's I can't remember the company, but the company that has the rights
Toho?
For Godzilla. Yeah, is it Toho?
I'm pretty sure it's what it is.
Okay, well, apparently they can't release or make a movie until after 2020, because that Godzilla versus King Kong movie is coming out, and they can't make and release a movie the same year as like the American ones are coming out. There can only be like one Godzilla movie a year, and that's how like the weird licensing stuff is coming out. So they made this one like in a year that the other ones weren't made. Does that make sense? Like,
no,
they can't
it does.
Overlap. There can't be an American and a Japanese one in the same year.
Yeah, I understand. All right, Godzilla.
Godzilla. What was the best thing you watched this week?
The best thing that I watched this week was a film that came out this year and stars Robert Pattinson and is called High Life and is currently available on Amazon Prime for free if you have Prime. And It is a movie that starts out with Robert Pattinson in space and with a little kid, and they're the only ones there, and he's working on this spaceship, and I think at that point he said he's been in the ship for 7 years, maybe. And then it flashes back to when they first got on the ship, and I don't know, it reminded me a lot of 2001 A Space Odyssey due to a lot of the visuals and a lot of the abstract ideas. There's not a lot of, like, for a movie about, or a movie set in space, there's not a lot of space, if that makes sense, which is not a bad thing. And the way that I've been describing this to people is that it's a sexy version of 2001.
Sexy.
Because the basic premise of the first, or the middle chunk of the movie, where it explains how he went from having comrades to just having a little baby hanging out with him, is it's all about one person in particular, or not all about, but it's like the plot, main plot point is that there is a doctor who is trying to create artificial life using a human egg and a human sperms. So that's what she's trying to do. And so that's why I describe it as a sexy version, because there's a lot of talk about masturbation and stuff like that. I don't know. It was good. I'm still not fully processed on it. It is a really interesting setting. There's a lot of fucked up shit in the movie, so prepare yourself for that. But one of the things, and I know I gushed a little bit about this on the Facebook earlier this week, but one of the things that I love about Robert Pattinson, or have grown to love about Robert Pattinson, is kind of one of the things that I love about Tom Hardy, even if he's not picking, and same thing with Matthew McConaughey nowadays, even if he's not picking the best movie to be in, it's probably going to be interesting. And yeah, pretty fucking weird. So I'm on board for whatever he is in, because, like, Good Time is one of the best films I have ever seen. It was absolutely amazing. The Rover is really fucking good, and they're all really fucking weird, and I cannot wait for The Lighthouse.
Yeah, I don't remember a whole bunch about The Rover, but, like, I remember, like, his weird performance in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to go back and watch The Rover at some point.
Yeah, I love me The Rover. All right, let's get into some movie news that I
movie
have
news
right here on my computer.
Do 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 movie news.
Maybe.
Yep.
If I can get it pulled up. All right, here we go. So, first headline that I have written down. The John Wick spinoff Ballerina is going to be directed by Len Wiseman. Mm-hmm. Wiseman is probably best known for being a director of the first two Underworld films, and a producer on the rest of them. He also directed Live Free or Die Hard and the 2012 Total Recall remake or readaptation. So, I know that you are a fan of the Underworld films. I am a fan of the...
Shut
no,
up,
no,
Jason.
I'm not,
shut up.
I'm not making fun of anything or judging. Uh-huh. I'm just stating a fact, which is that you are a fan of the Underworld movies, and I myself am not a fan of the Underworld movies.
I'm just saying Michael Sheen is a sexy werewolf, and he was such a sexy werewolf that they had to give him a film all by himself.
Yeah, the
third one.
Yeah, yep. The third one. I'm also
not directed by Len Wiseman, apparently.
Nope.
Produced. I thought it was, but yeah, okay. Nope. Right on.
I'm also not a huge fan of the 2012 Total Recall. And
never saw it.
I remember. Yeah, you really don't. I remember liking Live Free or Die Hard when it came out. but yeah. I have not watched it since then, so I don't have any idea if that movie holds up or not. But all of that being said, Donnie, since you are a fan of the Underworld movies, how do you feel about Ballerina being directed by Len Wiseman?
I honestly think it could probably go either way. Because I feel like there's a Bible he's probably going to have to adhere to.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to have to play within the rules of this universe. And it's not one that he's created, so he doesn't feel like he has to, you know, like, that he's, like, allowed to, like, mess it up or go in silly directions. So, in that case, I feel like he could probably, because, like, that, I feel like that's why, like, Live Free or Die Hard is actually, like, as good a movie as it is, mm-hmm. is because he is making a Die Hard movie. He wasn't making an Underworld movie.
Yeah.
And the Underworld movies went places that are horrible. So in that case, I would say that probably
there's hope.
I would say that I don't have a problem. It's a wait and see thing. Mm-hmm. I'll make a judgment when I see it, but I mean, I don't think it's really going to take away from, I never really let spinoffs or stuff like that really take away from like what I like about the main series. So if they want to take a shot at doing something a little bit different in that universe, then I don't mind. As long as the action is good.
Yeah, no, agreed. I also agree, and it comes back to something I talked about a little bit earlier and something that I'll talk about a little bit later, which is the Michael Bay is usually seen as a horrible director. However, if you look at the movies that he was not allowed to be a producer on, they're actually pretty good. But once he got to the point where he could produce all of his movies, they're all terrible, except for Pain and Gain. I really like Pain and Gain. Yeah, you can shake your head all you want. That movie's fucking awesome.
Yeah, I can't say. I haven't seen the whole thing, so.
All right. Let's get on to... Oh, I was just going to say that, you know, I hope you're right. I hope this is a case where if somebody else is the EP, they will have the reins and kind of keep him in check. And that makes me more excited for the movie.
Are there any other details on the movie so far?
Not that I read.
Okay.
This was the main plot point, or main plot point. This was the main point I just wanted to ask about, was your thoughts, because you enjoy the Underworld movies. You!
Making a lot of assumptions. I even watched the last one that came out, and like...
Blood Wars.
It was bad, but also it was like, it got real stupid too, which like, I appreciated a lot. Because like, like, if something's bad, I also want it to be super dumb, and like, mm-hmm. full of confidence in itself. That it thinks that it's being cool, because otherwise there's just not like any fun in it anymore.
Yeah.
And it's real dumb, Jason.
I mean, I imagine it's a movie called Blood Wars. All right. I have some news that I think we're both going to be very excited about. All right. Headline that I came up with this time. Nicholas Winding Refn, director of Bronson and Drive, is creating a Maniac Cop remake TV series for HBO. I really quickly just want to state, I have never seen the original Maniac Cop and did not know that this was a remake. However, this is the official plot summary that he's come up with. Also, it's not being directed by him. It's being directed by the guy that did the Universal Soldier movies, I think. And I'm also kind of bummed because I did not realize, apparently, his other TV series that he did for Prime, yeah. I think it's called Too Old to Die Young, was one that I really wanted to watch, and apparently it's out, so I gotta go watch that.
Uh-huh.
But here's the synopsis for his new show. Set in Los Angeles, Maniac Cop is told through a kaleidoscope of characters from cop to common criminal. A killer in uniform has uncaged mayhem upon the streets, paranoia leads to social disorder as the city wrestles with the mystery of the exterminator in blue. Is he mere mortal or a supernatural force?
Who so could tell?
Nicholas Winding Refn.
Yes.
I personally am really excited for this because there is not a single thing that Nicholas Winding Refn has done that I have seen that I have not enjoyed. And that does include Only God Forgives, which I do not think is his worst film at all. I really, really enjoy everything. I liked The Neon Demon. I liked Valhalla Rising. I have the Pusher trilogy in my Amazon cart. Just have not bought it yet. So, I, as far as I know, enjoy everything of his that I've seen. And this sounds like something that his particular brand of flair will work really well with. So I'm really, really excited for this.
Yeah, I'll check it out. Jason, one question for you, though.
What up?
You just said that people think that Only God Forgives is his worst film.
Everyone that I have talked to has said that they believe, or not everyone, everyone that I've like specifically asked has said that they feel that that is his worst movie.
Is that maybe because Only God Forgives was the first film after Drive, correct?
It is, yes.
And it also stars Ryan Gosling.
It does.
And in that film, what?
Oh, I was going to say, I didn't realize this, but apparently it wasn't supposed to. The person he wanted to star in it was, like, booked with something else, so Ryan Gosling was just like, fuck it, I'll do it.
He's like, baby goose, get in here. because the whole thing, spoilers for Only God Forgives, it's a movie that hates you for about 2 hours. So, I mean, it's not supposed to be a pleasant thing, mm-hmm. but also I think people don't like it because they didn't want to see Ryan Gosling just, like, never have a badass moment in that movie, because every time he gets into a fight, he just gets the shit beat out of him the entire time, and that's, like, his whole thing is that he's a fighter,
mm-hmm.
and he's just like, fight me.
There's one fight scene where he is victorious, and then it turns out it's a dream. Which is pretty funny.
And then at the hand, he gets his arms chopped off.
He does. Or does he?
Yeah, that movie's a trip, dude.
It is. It's really fucking good.
I really like it.
I think the only reason that people don't like it is because, Drive is just so fucking good, and I think that...
It's mainstream, though. People have things that they can latch onto and really like about that movie.
It is, and there's one scene that upsets everyone in Drive, and it's the part where he bashes that dude's head in the elevator, and...
Are you sure it's not the scene where Christina Hendricks' character, like, gets shotgun blast? Because that one's pretty disturbing, too.
That is also pretty graphic. I don't know, but, like, a lot of the violence in that movie people find upsetting, and so I feel like... This was Nicholas Winding Refn being like, look, I don't just do artsy, like, mainstream films. This is the shit I want to do.
I don't want you to like my movies. If I wanted you to like my movies, I would make a movie that you like. And I do.
I do just want to say that if you have not seen Drive, I highly recommend you check it out.
It's still a very good movie.
It is a very serious contender for my my list I've started for my top favorite films of the decade.
Nice.
So, Drive.
Which we are getting very close to the end of.
I know, we're gonna have to do an episode on that. All right, my last little bit of news is very sad, and it's that actor Robert Forster has passed away from brain cancer at age 78.
It's sad.
It is sad. I guess I don't remember the first time I saw him on a film, but he's one of those character actors who, like, every time he was in a movie, even though he's basically just playing himself in everything, every time he's in a movie, he's that character. Like, he becomes the character that he is. And I think that's one of the hard things about character actors. Is that, or like when a character actor dies, is because they're in so many things and they do such a good job of embodying the roles that it's like, it's a real bummer when they're gone because they're in everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like when Christopher Lee passed away, I mean, he's another guy who just, he was in everything. I think he has like over 100 film credits to his name on IMDb.
Yeah, he's a working actor.
And I know that we had briefly discussed the idea of talking about our favorite Robert Forster performance. I think I am going to bail on that and just say that he's a great, great actor, and that if you have not seen seen his work as in a more leading man role in Jackie Brown, that you are doing yourself a great disservice by not watching that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And RIP. I'll just leave it at that.
Yep.
All right. So let's get into this. We were supposed to do an episode on Sleepaway Camp. I posted stuff about doing an episode on Sleepaway Camp.
Uh-huh.
We're not doing an episode on Sleepaway Camp because I typed November instead of October. So
you did.
We don't have the guests that we wanted to have on the show.
It's a good thing you don't write checks, Jason.
So Donnie and I decided at the last moment, and also thanks to my lovely wife for offering the suggestion, we are going to do our top three favorite horror movies and our top three underrated horror films that we feel are underrated. And just kind of talk about them. So I don't know if we care to start with one in particular, but I guess Donnie, do you just want to start with your third favorite horror film?
All right. If we're talking about like what people know and when it came out gave the exact amount of praise that it deserved, and it continues to deserve that praise. My third favorite horror film of all time right now is The Witch. And The Witch is good.
Which
because
is great.
It's because it is framed as an American folktale for the Puritans of that time and from the Pilgrim Age. And it's about a family that is like excommunicated from the church and the town that they're living in because they don't believe the way that they believe, and so they strike out on their own, and wouldn't you know it, they have deviated from the light and darkness has come upon them.
Witchy things start happening.
A baby dies, so which is horrible. Like, also, like, it's so great because there's some movies that are like really good about like, oh, what's actually happening. It's like, no, in the first like 10 minutes, like, you know exactly what's happening, and it's just like a super slow burn for the rest of the movie. That this family is just gonna like descend into madness, and yeah. And like, there are people who like don't understand that kind of horror. And also, I will say, this is, doesn't even matter what the volume you're watching this at, the dialogue is as period like accurate as it could be.
Oh yeah.
And so it's very hard to follow. It's a very good idea if you put subtitles on, because I got so much more from it watching subtitles, because
Then when we watched it in the theater?
Because it's, well, in the theater, I feel like, I don't know if it was just the audio mix, but, like, I think things were maybe a little bit too loud, and I couldn't, like, understand over the bass, like, actually figuring out what they were saying. And because they speak in a way that's not, like, it's not kind to the ear, I would say, or familiar to the ear. And so, putting on subtitles, it's a lot easier to kind of reconcile that stuff. I would recommend that. I would always recommend like just watching it first without subtitles and just like trying to figure it out, because the performances are just good enough that you don't really have to. But then if you maybe watch it a second time with subtitles on, then like you get a little bit more context or just some flourishes that you maybe didn't notice before.
You know, I don't think that I've ever admitted this to you or Jace, or the collective Jace, but after we watched that movie, I went home and I had to sleep with my lights on. Because I was fucking terrified. I don't even know that I slept that night. I think I might have just stayed up all night being terrified of everything.
That's horrifying.
That movie, I think the last time I was that scared by a movie was when I watched The Fly. Yeah. And the last time I was that scared of a movie was when I watched The Thing when I was, I don't know, 10 years old. And my father decided that it was time for me to become a man.
That is the right to watch The Thing.
All right. No, that's great. Yeah, The Witch is awesome, and it's fucking terrifying. Mm-hmm. And it's on Netflix.
Yep. And very, very soon from this point, he will have his second film come out. So I would recommend everyone probably check that out.
Mm-hmm.
Even with me not seeing it. Another Robert Pattinson joint.
Mm-hmm. I do have one thing quickly that I want to point out, which is that I know that there were a lot of people who are upset by The Witch and who were upset by It Comes at Night for the very same reason.
Uh-huh.
And that is because It Comes at Night looks like a mythical monster movie.
Yep.
And is in fact a movie that is the fear is based around paranoia, and The Witch appeared to be a movie that was based around paranoia and is in fact set in a mythical reality. Yeah. So just be sure that you are understanding what you're getting into, because a lot of people have been like, well, this isn't what was advertised.
That's so dumb.
I disagree, but whatever. All right, my third favorite just straight horror movie that has just gotten better every single time I've ever watched it is one that I'm pretty sure is one of your all-time favorite horror movies, and that is The Evil Dead Part 2. And I'm not going to talk about this very long because I don't know what I could possibly say that hasn't already been said about this movie. I mean, I think that it's one of those films that is just fucking perfect. There are parts of it that are terrifying. There are parts of it that are hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
The practical effects are, oh my God, fucking horrifying. I mean, the masks and, or not the masks, the makeup, the laughters, all that stuff is,
oh God, the laughters, freaking. Jason.
And I will say that the laughing scene where everything in the house just starts laughing, mm-hmm, is my favorite scene in the movie.
That's pretty good. Yeah, it's good.
Without a doubt. So that's all I have to say. Just Evil Dead 2 is great. If you have never seen the Evil Dead movies, I'm pretty sure they're streaming on something. I'm not sure that I can remember what off the top of my head.
Pretty sure. I think Hulu has the Evil Deads.
Okay.
Pretty sure.
So yeah, if you haven't seen the Evil Dead movies, I highly recommend it. Just be sure that you are watching them in order, because there are two evil, just plain old Evil Deads. There's the remake, which it takes a lot of the comedy out of the first one and makes it, yeah, as a serious horror movie.
Yeah, straight horror movie.
Which is also really good.
Mm-hmm.
And has a post-credit scene that is highly worth watching. All right. So that's what I got. Donnie, what is your second favorite horror movie?
My second favorite horror movie would be The Blair Witch Project.
Oh my God, yes.
It is maybe one of the most horrifying things like ever seen. Like the way that you talked about The Witch and your reaction to it after the fact, that was pretty much how I... Like, The Blair Witch Project is horrifying, mm-hmm, in that same way, because... Like, even when you know that it's fake, like, mm-hmm, oh, this wasn't actually footage found and presented to the masses as entertainment, because that's messed up. But then we grow up and realize that they just put that stuff... it's more realistic knowing that people just put, like, the most horrific stuff out there anyway. So Anyway, but even like being made back in like 1999 is like it made like found footage a thing.
Yeah.
Like it was like maybe the most horrifying thing. And then even like watching it is like one layer, like looking at like the viral marketing like online is another layer to it, the backstory and like the little teases and hints as to like what actually happened, what the history of it is of the Blair Witch. And then but then you get into like how the filmmakers like conceptualized it and then executed it, because it's fascinating because they essentially took three actors who were like good at improvising and gave them the equipment too, because it could only be those three, like couldn't be anybody else who was filming. And so they pretty much just like put like pointed them in a direction and pushed and said, okay, make this happen. And then it was up to the actors to like stay in character like with the filming too, and then the directors would just be like just out of reach, and then at night like scared the shit out of them, which is but, like it's like every facet of that movie is fascinating, and the end product is like just a horrifying film.
It's like a functioning or a actual version of Tropic Thunder. Yeah. But scary. What I was going to say is that my favorite reaction to that movie ever is when I was a little kid and it first came out and it was just fucking terrifying everyone. My mom and dad watched it, and I remember we were sitting at the dinner table and it was a holiday of some sort because all my extended family was there. And my mom, somebody asked what they thought of it. My mom said, well, you know, for a movie that is nothing but people walking around and being boring and just yelling profanity at each other, it's pretty scary. Which is one of my favorite reactions to that movie ever, because I feel like that sums it up pretty well for a movie that's nothing but people running around and yelling profanity at each other. It's pretty scary.
Yeah. And then every film made after that is just kind of ruins it, but whatever. Yeah. We still got the Blair Witch Project.
We do. And even if we have to suffer a million, what was that movie that you and I were watching and we fell asleep to? As Above, So Below, right? That was a found footage movie.
Sure.
That came on, and then I fell asleep, like, right after it started.
Wah, wah.
Anyway, I will tell you that my second favorite horror film...
Number two.
...is the original Halloween... And out of all of the classic, like Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, I don't know, Leprechaun?
Yes, let's go with that.
Out of all of the classic horror movies, Halloween is the only one that genuinely really scared me, and I think that's because it breaks a lot of the traditional horror movie rules, and Michael Myers is just such a different creature from, I mean, I know that he shares a lot of similarities with like Jason and Leatherface and stuff like that, but at the same time he is a very different character, and I absolutely love the original Halloween, and if you have, that's another one that if you've never seen it, you are really missing out. I feel like all these, if you haven't seen, you're really missing out. So yeah, but no, that's
The ones we talk after this, you're really missing out.
Yeah, the ones after this, and all of these, you, let's be real, you've probably seen.
I hope so.
So, let's get into. Let's just finish this along and get into the first favorites, and then we can get into the fun discussion. So, Donnie, what is your first favorite horror movie?
First favorite.
First favorite. First place. There will be blood.
No.
Minus Citizen Kane.
The Citizen Kane of horror films is Citizen Kane. Let's be honest here. No, the Citizen Kane of horror films is obviously The Thing. Mm-hmm. The Thing is John Carpenter's best film. as much as, like, you just talked about Halloween, I think as much as that's grounded, I feel like The Thing is grounded in a much more, like, blown out way. It's like, mm-hmm. Halloween is like, there is this evil, this almost unstoppable evil that has invaded our neighborhood, and where The Thing is, there's this, like, unstoppable evil that has invaded our planet mm-hmm. from outer space, and that is, and the form that it takes is horrifying, because we don't understand it, and it is disgusting.
Yep.
But also, like, there are so many good characters in that movie that, like, very rarely do you get, like, a slasher film or, you know, mm-hmm. one of those movies that, like, you actually go, like, oh, these, like, all these characters seem like actual people, and they have their own personalities, and they all have kind of, like, conflicts with each other and, dynamics with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, they're just trying to get through this situation as best as they can. And sometimes that means that they turn on each other. And also, that's also a movie about paranoia. And, oh, yeah. You know, because I think, like the original thing, like, the film before this, and then the short, like, story that it was based on is all about, like, it's like, has roots in, like, the Red Scare and stuff like that. and, like, the evil from outside. So it's one of those films, but then, like, it's on a very, like, on a figurative basis, it's horrifying, and on a very literal basis, it's horrifying. Mm-hmm. And I think if you marry those two together in just the right way, then it's, like, there's something that, like, you can't take it off you once you're done watching it. Like, it sticks with you for a long time. And I think that's what, like, the thing is, like, I honestly don't think there's any film that's, like, any horror film that's topped The Thing in all the years that it's been out since 1982.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I don't know if any film will ever be able to top that, at least horror-wise.
No,
there's a lot of non-horror movies that are not as good as it as well, like, just in general.
The Thing is pretty fucking terrifying. And also pretty fucking awesome. Mm-hmm. All right. My favorite horror film, which I don't even know if this is really a horror film, but when I looked it up, it appears everybody else classifies it as a horror film. So I'm calling it a horror film. Let the Right One In.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, without a doubt, in my top 10 favorite films ever made. And I don't know, like, I just, when I watched that movie for the first time, it hit me really, really hard. And it's, every single time that I watch it, it hits me really hard. There's a lot of really, really cool stuff that they do. The American version is not good and you shouldn't watch it.
I thought you were going to say not as good, but it's just not good.
I don't know. I've never seen it.
Oh, okay.
I've actually heard that it's pretty good. They made a huge, huge change to the remake from the original and from the book that I struggle with. And you know what? Fuck it. If you haven't seen it, then just skip ahead a couple of minutes. But in the book and in the original, oh my god, I can't remember their names. But the little girl character, or vampire character, is revealed to be a boy whose genitalia has been removed and has become a vampire. And in the American version, they cut that out. Which I feel like is a pretty big plot point to skip over.
And they just say that she's a girl?
Yep.
Okay.
And they never... And one of the cool things too is that in the original movie they don't overtly say oh, hey, I was a girl, and then I got my genitalia ripped off. Instead, she just, like, takes off all of her clothes, and then you just see this horrible, nasty scar and scarring where her genitals should be. So, it's a really fucked up thing to see, but it's a really fucked up movie. So, for being, at its heart, such a simple love story, it's really hard to watch at some points. And it's pretty freaky. So, but yeah, no, I just every single time that I watch that movie, it hits me in the gut really hard, and I love it. And if you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. All right, let's get into the other stuff. Donnie, what is your third favorite underrated or third most underrated horror movie?
This is a film that also people classify it as a horror film, so I will say it is a horror film, even though it's more of like kind of a more like a super dark comedy, which is Shadow of the Vampire. Shadow of the Vampire is there is a film that was made called Nosferatu.
Okay.
And that was one that was made way back in like the 1920s. Mm-hmm. And that was a silent movie, and mm-hmm. I've watched it. It's fairly good. It's mm-hmm. it's a silent movie, so there are things you need to get past. Times yep. have changed. And I still have not watched the Werner Herzog one, which I kind of want to, from the 70s. Yeah. But this film is a fictional, retelling of how those people made that original 1920s film, and it is not a documentary. It has the people who made it as characters in it, including the director, who is played by John Malkovich. I think is Murnau, I think, is the director. Mm-hmm. And essentially it posits the idea that Max Schreck, who played Nosferatu, or you know, Count Orlok in the original film, was an actual vampire. And he got him to play Count Orlok because he was a vampire. He wanted to make the most realistic vampire film of all time. And for a lot of the film, and Max Schreck is played by Willem Dafoe, and yeah. he was nominated for like an Academy Award for supporting actor, so that should tell you the kind of significance of his performance in this movie. But he is so cheesy, but also very sinister in how ridiculous he is.
Yeah,
but it's such a weird performance from him, even though I don't know, you could watch, there's a handful, you could throw a handful of Willem Dafoe performances at me, I'd be like, that guy's weird. Also how it ends is maybe, it's horrifying, but it also, made me laugh my ass off the entire time.
That's awesome.
And it has Cary Elwes in it, and he's pretty rad. But also, there's just really funny scenes leading up to the end, leading up to when it starts getting more serious, where he starts to he sucks someone's blood in front of the cinematographer and the producer, and they're like, wow, he's really a method actor, isn't he? They're just so dumb to who he actually is and what he is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, that movie's so good, and it's almost impossible to find it on physical media, and I would probably just rent it, streaming, because I guess someone has the rights for, physical media and, doesn't want to, give it up. Same thing with Dawn of the Dead. So any way that you can watch it, I would recommend watching it, because it's just, one of those fantastic movies.
You know, that is one that I've heard nothing but good things about, and have always wanted to watch and just have not gotten around to it. So I will be sure to keep an eye out for it, because I really want to see it.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Jason, on to your number three.
My number three. So I did this based on like movies that I don't hear anybody else talk about ever. unless I've told them about them. Or that I only hear people say negative things about. So, with that in mind, my favorite, or my third favorite, third most underrated horror film is a little indie film called I Sell the Dead, which I don't know if I made you watch, but it was made in 2008, or released in 2008. It had a budget of $450,000. It starred Dominic Monaghan and Ron Perlman and, oh, what's the guy's name? Larry Fessenden. And Basically the film is Dominic Monaghan is about to be hung for some crimes, and he is confessing his sins to Ron Perlman, who plays a father. And the movie is just a fascinating premise, to me at least, about Dominic Monaghan and his buddy Larry Fessenden. Basically they start out as grave robbers, and then they discover that there are like fucking zombies and monsters and shit in this world, and that they can sell those for even more money. So then they start only... they basically just start trying to get, like, weird corpses. Like, zombies... Like, yeah, just like I said, like, zombies, aliens, I mean, whatever they can get their hands on that is weird and strange. And it is really funny, and also, at times, really freaky. And it is almost all practical effects, which makes it all the more fun to watch, because it's not shitty CGI like a lot of horror movies around that time were doing. And yeah, no, it's a... I don't think it's streaming on anything. It was an IFC release, so if you're able to get your hands on it or you come across a copy, I highly recommend you pick it up and give it a watch. But it's one of those movies that's just, it's a lot like Behind the Mask in this sense, which I totally would have put on my list if we hadn't already talked about it. Mm-hmm. It's just so fucking weird that it makes it, and the cast is so much fun to watch that it makes it a blast to watch. So that is my number three. Which, have you seen I Sell the Dead?
No, I think you had mentioned it to me before, but I had not actually watched it. So, but now that, like, but I don't think you'd mentioned that, so, like, I'm a little bit more intrigued to watch it now.
Yeah, no, it's fucking weird. And it's very, very low budget, but it's very fun to watch. So.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. All right, what is your numero two?
Dos.
Did you just throw your hands up, like... Like a two?
Yeah. Two. Okay, right on. My number two would be one that you mentioned a little bit earlier. It Comes at Night.
Okay.
It's the same thing. Like, people thought this was like, oh, there's a scary monster in the dark. Mm-hmm. It is a monster that comes at night. No, it isn't. Actually, it's paranoia and disease and humanity and everything in between. And it's maybe because I'm just like the most nihilistic person in the world. That's not true. But it is horribly depressing. Don't expect any like happy ending. And it's maybe like I've never seen The Road, but this is like up there as maybe like one of the most realistic and like non like twisty post-apocalyptic movies.
Yeah.
That is just done very well, and It doesn't feel like it has to show you a bunch of stuff that it is post-apocalyptic. It's just like, no, this is just the world you're in now, and it's bad. And in that sense, it is like one of the scariest movies to me, just like the isolation and everything in it. So just like, don't go in and expecting something supernatural, because that is absolutely not what you're going to get. This is a very bare-bones, horrifying, like, post-apocalyptic film that doesn't feel like it needs to owe you anything.
Oh yeah, definitely. It actually, it reminds me of kind of like a horror version of The Rover. But what I was going to say is that I think one of the things that shows what an effective movie it is that, I mean, it's terrifying. However, like, there's not a lot of the action that happens, actually almost all of the action that happens, takes place in your head. They don't actively show it, and that's what makes it so fucking terrifying, is yeah. that you never really know what's going on, and, oh, yeah, no, that movie's fucking freaky. It's very good, and very downer.
Yeah, you need a chaser after it, for sure, unless mm-hmm. you want to go to bed feeling horrible about yourself.
All right. My number two is one that I get a lot of shit for defending, and I do not care. It is Scream 4.
Scream 4. That opening, which is the only thing I've seen of that movie. That opening is messed up.
Scream 4 is a movie that I feel like people shit on because after Scream 3... they expect it to just suck. And Scream 4 is really fucking good. I mean, it's definitely not as good as the first two, but it's fun.
Better than
it's,
3.
Oh yeah, it's definitely better than 3. It's fun. There's parts of it that are scary. There is a lot of stuff in it that works, and it is a blast to watch. I really, really like it. I've watched it a couple of times. I think that they do a great job making the franchise work for our day and time. And although I don't think it's the best version of the I want to kill people so that I can be famous story, I do think that it is pretty great, and I absolutely love it. So yeah,
right on.
That's my movie. All right, Donnie, what is your most underrated, or what do you feel is the most underrated horror film?
I think you're gonna hate me for this.
That's okay.
But my number. Well, yeah. Also, you know what? I'm also gonna make the same disclaimer. This is a movie that people are probably going to give me shit for, but I do not give a shit. And I think enough time has passed that it's Cube.
I was really hoping you were going to say Saw 6.
No. 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 Which, funny thing is, you could probably say that Cube is like a precursor to what Saw would become. Mm-hmm. Because it is a movie with a bunch of traps and people trying to get through them, so it's very much like Saw, but mm-hmm. they're trapped in a giant cube that is made up of like thousands upon thousands of like littler cube rooms that they have mm-hmm. to try and navigate through to try to escape, and it's a little cheesy. We actually did before we had this version of the podcast. We had a podcast before this, and we did an episode on it with Josh Smith, and mm-hmm. It was you guys kind of like thought it was a little bit cheesier than it should be, because like it's not the most horrifying. The concept is horrifying. The execution and how they act is a little bit cheesy and may take you out of the film a little bit, but yeah, I honestly think that like it's one of those independent films that I just really like, and it's everything's practical, and the idea of being trapped with people that might turn on you and also traps that you don't know what's happening is mm-hmm. it's just a personal favorite of mine, and I think more people should see it.
No, I mean, I agree with that. I think that if I was to go back and rewatch it, I would have a greater appreciation for it. Because I feel like
one, I've gotten more into horror films in recent years, and I've also gotten more into like low budget genre flicks. So I think that I would have a greater or a much greater appreciation for that movie now.
Okay.
All right. My number one. Is a movie that I think you've seen, and it is the first sequel to REC, so just REC 2.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are not familiar with the REC franchise, they actually remade the first one. And then they made a sequel to it, and doesn't have a goddamn thing to do with the sequel to the first original.
The original language one.
You know what I'm trying to say.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, they made a sequel, or they made a remake called Quarantine with, I believe, Jennifer Carpenter.
Yes.
And it was fine. I mean, it's one of those things where it's just, like, I don't know. It's like with Let the Right One In. Like, I don't know why it needs to exist when the original is so fucking perfect. So the REC films, at least the first two, are about a reporter going into... So the first one's about a reporter going into a building, and they're Spanish language, and she goes into this building, and it's got what appear to be zombies in it, and they... It's about the camera crew basically just dealing with that and kind of solving the mystery of what happened and where these things came from. And one of the things that I love about the original is that they don't ever come out and just tell you, hey, this is what happened. they just show you a bunch of stuff and then you put it together in your head, which is something I really appreciate. The second REC film... It takes place or starts immediately after the first one. Same building, and it's a group of soldiers. And one of the things that I think is so much fun, or that I thought was so much fun about the second REC, is that each soldier has like a little GoPro or a body cam.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of fun because it allows them to do more. So you can kind of jump to whoever you think is, or not you, but like the film kind of jumps to, you know, whoever's doing what, or whoever's being the most interesting. And it also allows them to tell or to do more stuff because they can leave and you can follow them. And they're also joined by a Catholic priest because what they reveal at the end of the first REC spoiler is that they're not zombies. They are actually being infected by this fucking demon child.
And it's a cover up by the Vatican, isn't it?
It is. And so the Catholic priest is sent in to try to, like, I don't know, undemonize her. So, but yeah, no, REC 2 is great. It's another found footage movie. That is a blast to watch, and that I feel like does something different. Same thing with the first REC. I feel like it's not just trying to be the Blair Witch Project, which, let's be real, is a very difficult challenge for most, found footage movies. And I remember you being a fan of the first REC. Did you ever see the second one?
I don't believe so. I don't believe so. And what I've seen of the first one, like, it's been so long ago since I've watched it. So it probably would pay to go revisit those movies.
Well, I'm pretty sure that there's four of them, and the third one's not very good and doesn't really have anything to do at all with
the
main
story. And then four wraps back around, but then it's also, yep, it's like super goofy or something.
Yeah, it's not very good. But I believe they are all on Netflix. I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure they're all still on Netflix. So you can check those out. And those are genuinely scary. Like, the first two are not funny at all. Like, I know that Scream 4, like, the other two on my list, Scream 4 and I Saw the Dead, are kind of goofy and kind of funny. And this one is, like, these are not funny at all. These are fucking scary. So I highly recommend that if you're able, you check them out. All right, let's get into... I've got some reviews collected.
Okay.
That I am going to read to Donnie, and Donnie is going to try to guess which films these are. These are movies that are currently in theaters.
That's what you say.
I believe most of them opened this week. This week or last week. All right. Here we go. So these are the first couple reviews. So... Angie gave this movie 5 out of 5 stars, saying, thought it was cute.
Okay.
Pretty funny. Eddie E. gave this film 1 out of 5 stars, saying, great Dolby sound, absurd storyline.
Priorities.
1 star for the sound, no more stars because of the story. All right, and then the last review, which I think kind of gives away the movie, that's okay, is by Disappointed Gomez, and it gives the film one out of 5 stars, saying, horrible movie. The story of the movie was developed by a very person with poor imagination. The main goal is to push the idea of letting your children do whatever they want for their lifestyle. So I hope that review makes you feel bad about yourself, because there's people like that in the world. You shouldn't let your children do what they want for their lifestyle. Or excuse me, do whatever they want for their lifestyle.
Yeah, the want. I'm going to say it's the Addams Family.
It is.
Disappointed Gomez.
All right. So next one's got a couple. Simon E. gave this movie 2 out of 5 stars, saying it's boring cliches, not funny jokes at all. The characters are empty. The emotional part of the movie doesn't touch me, but I am Hungarian, so it was fun to see our city from castles and hills.
What the fuck?
William G. gave this movie 5 out of 5 stars. Oh, this one's going to give it away too, but that's okay. William G. gave this movie 5 out of 5 stars, saying this was an excellent movie. Fresh Prince Will Smith versus today's Will Smith. Good action and great storyline. And then Alvin W. gave this movie 5 out of 5 stars, saying this movie was awesome. Don't listen to the credits. That's right.
Okay.
Credits. Not critics. No. Credits.
Don't listen to the credits. They're gonna lie to you.
Wait. I got one more. Kenyon J gave this movie 5 out of 5 stars, saying this was a wonderful movie, full of action and suspense with an awesome underlying message. Okay, now get ready, because this is a big message. You can be strong and quick when you're young, but the older you will always defeat because of sheer wisdom. Well, also that the older you is in pretty good shape as well.
What the
great
fuck?
Movie. all right, you know what it is?
Do I have to say it?
Yes.
Okay, it's the Gemini Man.
It is. That's a pretty great message. You can be strong and quick when you're young, but the older you will always defeat because of sheer wisdom. Well, also that the older you is in pretty good shape as well. Oh, my God. All right.
That's just comedy gold right there, and they didn't even know it.
You know, a lot of the reviews that I read, a lot of these people don't get how funny they're being. All right. No. Trent R. gave this movie 1.5 stars out of 5. There were a few funny lines, but many jokes with parentheses around it lasted too long or just never landed. It felt like we didn't get the edited version of the film. It felt like we got the pre-post-production version. You could tell the screens on the phone weren't actually on the phone. bothered me the whole time could have been so much better.
Wait, did it actually say pre-post production version?
Yep.
Wow. The pre-post production. Oh. You know what? They're not wrong.
No, I get what he's trying to say.
Yeah.
He's just saying it in a very, or, yeah, no, it's a he. Is saying it in a very difficult, like the most convoluted way possible. All right. M gave this 3 out of 5 stars. Started out hilarious, then got awkward, then dive bombed into seriousness. It tried to recover, but couldn't. And then, and I think it's funny that they still gave it a positive review. And then T gave this film 3.5 stars out of 5. If you're all about your phone, then I think you'll really enjoy the movie. And this is the part that made me laugh. Probably geared towards 20 to 55 year olds.
20 to 55 year olds.
Yep, you know that market.
Man, okay.
All right. You know what it is?
Her.
I was hoping that you would say that.
No, it's that Lexi movie.
Jexy.
Oh, it's okay. Jexy. Right. Oh my gosh. Okay.
I have got a couple more movies, but there's a lot less reviews for each of them. All right, this one did not give a name. 3 out of 5 stars. I liked the movie, but there were all these flashbacks. I didn't understand some of them, the point of them. And then Sarhang M gave this movie 5 out of 5 stars, saying it was amazing. Thanks for the director.
Thanks for the director.
Not the director, the director.
Director. The person who directs you somewhere. Not.
Mm-hmm.
Never mind.
Got any guesses?
Is that it? Chapter 2?
It is not. It is El Camino, a Breaking Bad movie.
Oh, sure, that's in theaters. Thanks, Jason.
All right. Next one. Michael R. gave this movie 4 out of 5 stars, saying, awesome movie, really eye-opening. Redbone B. gave this movie 5 out of 5 stars, saying, real suffer never seen before from the character. What an amazing piece of work. And Daniel D. gave this movie 5 out of 5 stars, and I hope you laugh as hard as I did when I tell you what the title or what this movie is for. What It Too Could Have Been.
I think I know.
What is it?
Joker.
It is Joker.
What It Too Could Have Been. Jesus Christ. Go home, people. Shut off your internet.
All right, this is the
last. I don't
want to
hear from you ever again.
This is the last one, and this one is. This might be my favorite review once I tell you what movie it is. Kimberly H. gave this movie 4.5 out of 5 stars, saying, too much violence. Still deserved a 4.5 star review, but too much violence. And then Jennifer C. gave this movie 5 out of 5 stars, saying, 4 delivery different boys all thought this was great.
4 delivery different boys?
4 delivery different boys all thought this was great. And the A is capital, so great.
Oh, is it Rambo?
It's abominable.
What?
You know, the animated movie about trying to find the abominable snowman. Too much violence.
I thought for some reason in my head it was like too gory or something like that, but too violence.
Too much violence.
Okay. Sure.
Well, that was something.
Jesus Christ. There's only so many times I can take the Lord's name in vain on this podcast. I've used them up.
Every time that we play this game, I lose a little more faith in humanity. All what?
They should put that on the poster for Joker then. What It Chapter 2 could have been.
Could have been. All right. I have got some recommendations for you all.
Chew.
Hmm?
For to all.
For to all?
Nah.
All right. I got... So I recently started watching the show Ruby. Spelled R-W-B-Y.
Wow, you're watching anime?
I know. Yeah, no, Riley got me to start watching it. It was pretty good.
Okay.
I'm halfway through the first season, and it was pretty good. It's all the things that are also guns is pretty fun.
All the what?
All the weapons that are also guns.
Yeah, true.
Are pretty fun. So,
they're fun.
Yeah, no, I like that, and the animation is kind of stupid, but it's also fun to watch. So. I was gonna say I rewatched and I know I talked about this on the blog. I talked about it earlier, or not the blog, the Facebook. I talked about it a little bit earlier on the podcast. I rewatched The Rock this week, and that is such a fun movie to watch, and it is a great example of what Michael Bay can do as a director when somebody else is telling him what to do, because he's actually a really good director. He's just really, really bad at knowing like what to spend time on. So when somebody else is in charge and kind of pushing him in the right direction, he can do some good stuff. But when he's in charge, what else? I recently rediscovered the video game Broforce, which is an absolute blast. You haven't played Broforce, it is delightful. I've also been listening to the album A Sailor's Guide to Earth by Sturgill Simpson, I believe is his name, and that's been pretty good. And then also the new album by the Dead South called Sugar and Joy is also really, really great. So if you get time, check that shit out. Donnie, what do you got?
So, I don't have very many recommendations this week other than I just keep watching Top Chef. I just can't stop watching it. It's essentially my go-to show whenever I'm eating, and I eat as much as I can, so I'm watching it a lot.
You're just constantly down in hot dogs.
Yep, down in hot dogs forever.
As far as
that Yeah. And then also for people who are maybe want a little bit more of a recommendation film wise for me, I am going to recommend not a film. I'm going to recommend not a film twice. Actually, there is, if you have a PS4, you can play a game. It is a spooky season. So if you have not played it, play Until Dawn, which is a game in which you are essentially, it's like choose your own adventure essentially, and it's a nice cheesy horror movie that you can control and decide the actions of the characters and whether they live or die, and it's a good time.
It's really fun because the first half of the game is like a typical slasher movie, and then the second half of the game is like a monster movie. Yep. So it's really good. It's
and great. Also, you got so much Peter Stormare. It's so good. And then in the same vein, if you want something, if you've already played Until Dawn and you're not sure and you weren't aware, there is a game by the same developers of that game called Man of Medan, which is a part of the Dark Pictures anthology, which is seems to be a series they're doing from now on of anthology stories like The Twilight Zone or, you know, Outer Limits and stuff like that. But it's in that same playable format. So they're essentially going to do a game every, like, year. So you could potentially do a new game every October. And so this one is Man of Medan, and it's from all everything I've seen and played, it's very good. And then next year we'll have a new one, and then we can just keep on this tradition. And the same thing, there's like between the chapters there's a host that kind of like talks to you about the choices you made, and
Mm-hmm. It's just a good time, and it's more geared towards multiplayer, so it's even a better fit for like a Halloween party or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. Until Dawn is a super fun game, and the first time I played it, I got one person all the way through. Aw, yeah. All right. You can follow us on the Twitter, which is Donald. You can follow us on the Facebook, which is me. And you can follow us on Instagram, which is my lovely wife, Caitlin. If you have not already, please tell your friends about our dumb show. And you make them listen to it, and you make them enjoy it. You can follow me on Twitter at Jason Ranks Stuff, where sometimes I rank stuff. And you can follow Donnie on his ever so confusing Twitter name.
We will not repeat it here.
And then I have not yet watched Alpha. Donnie, I take it you have not yet watched Source Code.
What's that movie?
All right. Thank you so much for listening. I would like to say watch more Satan and Hail Movies. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Throw up the horns.